The driver smiles, but his eyes are hidden behind the black plastic glasses, and Salim cannot tell whether there is any humor in that smile or not.
The grandmothers came here too,
he says.
Are there many Jinn in New York?
No, not many of us.
There are the angels, and there are men who Allah made from mud, and then there are the people of the fire, the Jinn.
People know nothing about my people here. They think we grant wishes. If I could grant wishes, do you think I would be driving a cab?
I do not understand.
The taxi driver seems gloomy. Salim watches his face in the mirror as he speaks, staring at the Ifrit's dark lips.
They believe that we grant wishes. Why do they believe that? I sleep in one stinking room in Brooklyn. I drive this taxi for any stinking freak who has the money to ride in it, and for some who don't. I drive them where they need to go, and sometimes they tip me. Sometimes they pay me.
His lower lip began to tremble. The Ifrit seemed on edge.
One of them shat on the back seat once. I had to clean it before I could take the cab back. How could he do that? I had to clean the wet shit from the seat. Is that right?
Salim puts out a hand, pats the Ifrit's shoulder. He can feel solid flesh through the wool of a sweater. The Ifrit raises his hand from the wheel, rests it on Salim's hand for a moment. Salim thinks of the desert then. Red sands blow a dust storm through his thoughts, and the scarlet silks of the tents that surrounded the lost city of Yubar flap and billow through his mind. They drive up 8th Avenue.
The old believe. They do not piss into holes, because the Prophet told them that jinn live in holes. They know that the angels throw flaming stars at us when we try to listen to their conversations. But even for the old, when they come to this country, we are very, very far away. Back there, I did not have to drive a cab.
I am sorry.
It is a bad time. A storm is coming. It scares me. I would do anything to get away.
The two of them say nothing more on their way back to the hotel. When Salim gets out of the cab, he gives the Ifrit a $20 bill, tells him to keep the change. Then, with a sudden burst of courage, he tells him his room number. The taxi driver says nothing in reply. A young woman clambers into the back of the cab, and it pulls out into the cold and the rain. 6 o'clock in the evening. Salim has not yet written the facts to his brother-in-law. He goes out into the rain, buys himself this night's kebab and French fries. It has only been a week, but he feels that he is becoming heavier, rounder, softening in this country of New York. When he comes back to the hotel, he's surprised to see the taxi driver standing in the lobby, hands deep into his pockets. He is staring at a display of black and white postcards. When he sees Salim, he smiles self-consciously.
I called your room, but there was no answer, so I thought I would wait.
Salim smiles also and touches the man's arm.
I am here.
Together they enter the dim green-lit elevator, ascend to the 5th floor holding hands. The Ifrit asks if he may use Salim's bathroom.
I feel very dirty.
Salim nods. He sits on the bed, which fills most of the small white room, and listens to the sound of the shower running. Salim takes off his shoes, his socks, and then the rest of his clothes. The taxi driver comes out of the shower wet, with a towel wrapped about his midsection. He is not wearing his sunglasses, and in the dim room, his eyes burn with scarlet flames. Salim blinks back tears.
I wish you could see what I see.
I do not grant wishes,
whispers the Ifrit, dropping his towel and pushing Salim gently but irresistibly down onto the bed. It is an hour or more before the Ifrit comes, thrusting and grinding into Salim's mouth. Salim has already come twice in this time. The jinn semen tastes strange, fiery, and it burns Salim's throat. Salim goes to the bathroom, washes out his mouth. When he returns to the bedroom, the taxi driver is already asleep in the white bed, snoring peacefully. Salim climbs into the bed beside him, cuddles close to the Ifrit, imagining the desert on his skin. As he starts to fall asleep, he realizes that he still has not written his facts to Fuad, and he feels guilty. Deep inside, he feels empty and alone. He reaches out, rests his hand on the Ifrit's tumescent cock, and, comforted, he sleeps. They wake in the small hours, moving against each other, and they make love again. At one point, Salim realizes that he is crying, and the Ifrit is kissing away his tears with burning lips.
"What is your name?"
Salim asks the taxi driver.
"There is a name on my driving permit, but it is not mine."
Afterward, Salim could not remember where the sex had stopped and the dreams began. When Salim wakes, the cold sun creeping into the white room, he is alone. Also, he discovers, his sample case is gone. All the bottles and rings and souvenir copper flashlights, all gone, along with his suitcase, his wallet, his passport, and his air tickets back to Oman. He finds a pair of jeans, the t-shirt, and the dust-colored woolen sweater discarded on the floor. Beneath them, he finds a driver's license in the name of Ibrahim bin Aram, a taxi permit in the same name, and a ring of keys with an address written on a piece of paper attached to them in English. The photographs on the license and the permit ID do not look much like Salim, but then they did not look much like the Ifrit. The telephone rings. It is the front desk calling to point out that Salim has already checked out and his guest needs to leave soon so that they can service the room to get it ready for another occupant.
"I do not grant wishes,"
says Salim, tasting the way the words shape themselves in his mouth. He feels strangely lightheaded as he dresses. New York is very simple. The avenues run north to south, the streets run west to east. How hard can it be, he asks himself. He tosses the car keys into the air and catches them. Then he puts on the black plastic sunglasses he found in the pockets and leaves the hotel room to go and look for his cab.
This audiobook has been broken into multiple parts to make the download faster. You have reached the end of a part, but not the end of the complete audiobook. So please check your library for the next part of this audiobook.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.